Good morning. My name is Morgan Emby, and today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But then you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder what comes up in your mind when you hear the word education. I wonder what comes up in your mind or in your thought from years gone by, whatever town you grew up in, whatever community you grew up in, and you hear the word school. Or maybe you hear the dulcet tones of your mother and father and saying, "Do your homework." How many of you have nightmares of that? Some of you. I interviewed a couple of people about education and asked them to give me some things that come up in their mind. What happens when you say the word education or school? And they were like, "Dull, boring." I asked somebody else, a little older, "What's your..." "I have middle school nightmares," she said. I spoke to another person and she said, "A place where everybody cares about what you care about." That was a good one. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And today is a very special day, as you can probably tell, as we commission both our students, both our children, and our teachers into the new 2022 school year. And it's a fun time as we remember some of our own education memories, or if it's like some of the other people that I spoke to, some of our education nightmares. For me personally, it conjures up some thoughts of the school I went to back home in McGull High School. And I just remember the popular thought at the time, and some of my teachers were epitomizing the kind of teacher personified in the music video of Pink Floyd, "The Wall." You remember that? "We don't need no education." That's the kind of thing that goes around in my head. But not all education is like that, amen? We're excited about our educators, and we're excited ourselves to be educated. We want to know more about all the stuff going on about there. We want to know it in our head, and we want to know it in our heart. We want to know more about ourselves, and we want to know more about who God is to us. One of our values, one of our key values, which were in the video here, is excellence in Christian development. At this entity here, at Palm Harbor, we teach excellence in Christian development. We want people to grow in to follow Jesus. We want people to be led to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why this place exists. I don't know if you know anybody who has personified the excellence in Christian development. I don't know if you think of somebody you know who you look at that person and say, "Oh yeah, that person has definitely developed into knowing Jesus more." For me, it was back in 2014 when I met a guy who was down on his luck in AA and NA. And I found out some more about his life and where he grew up. He grew up in Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, his pastor, Max Jowen, could be watching today. He put his hands on his shoulders and says, "One day, you are going to be a mighty prophet." And he confirmed him and told him that you go off. And sadly, he went off on a different road into Alcoholic Anonymous, into a path of narcotics, and following people who didn't particularly say good things about him. Thankfully, he got in an AA and NA program down here in Tampa at the Tampa Bay Turning Point. They called it TPOP for short. And that was over in Tampa. And he went there for a while. He met his girlfriend there. And he was part of the rehab program there. Those of you who know rehab statistics are not always that good for people to come out and flourish. Well, this particular organization allowed the people there, the clients there, to go to church on Sunday. Now, in order for you to go to church on Sunday, you had to be good all week. You had to follow the guidelines. You had to check off the things that were important. And you could sign up on the wall. It just said church. And you could sign up on the wall and go to church. And the church that they went to on a Sunday was mine. At 11 o'clock every Sunday, a group of people from the TPOP would come in down the center aisle and sit right at the front every week at 11 o'clock without fail. And this kid was one of those people. And he got involved in the church. His sponsor from AA gave him a guitar, and he learned 3 chords, and he could play music. And he could play in the worship band. And so we let him play in the worship band, and he started to remember what Pastor Max had taught him, that actually Jesus loved him, and Jesus liked him and who he was. And as he developed at the church, the church hired him as the youth director, the recovering Narcotics Anonymous person. They hired him as a youth director because he was got a great story, right? And he started on this different trajectory. One day he told me, the girl he met in NA, "Keith, would you meet with me for counseling because I'm going to marry this girl and we'd like you to marry us." So we met together and I told him more about how what God wants for their lives and how we want them to grow up in Christian love and get closer to God and closer to each other. And he started to be educated more and more. Next time I see him, he said to me, "I am feeling, I am sensing, I am wondering about my call to ministry." What? I'm wondering about my call to ministry. Would you meet with me? Yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? Well, I'm going to finish my degree. So he went to Trinity College up in Trinity and finished his education in Bible. Turns out he loved Trinity College, and he on the day in May and 4 years ago, he invited me to his graduation, and he was the most tattooed valedictorian that Trinity College had ever seen. He had his robes on, he had all his garb on, he was the guest speaker, I was crying. But that wasn't the end of it. That wasn't the end of his education. Then he says, "I'm going to go to the same seminary that you went to. I'm going to go to Asbury Theological Seminary." And he like flew through there so fast. My professor who's been here and spoke, Dr. Brian Russell, he said, "I'm so glad this kid stopped frying his brain with drugs because he's got a brilliant mind." May this year, I went to his graduation. I was crying again. Dun, 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 dun. And then they're giving out the awards at the end. And Brian Russell, Dr. Brian Russell, stands up and says, "This kid comes from a rough background." He didn't want to say the whole thing like I just did. "This kid got married. He's got a baby now. He does triathlons. And this kid is going to, today, it's my honor to give him the Hebrew Award, which is the award for the best in the entire class of that grade for Bible." He walks across the stage. Today, like right now, he is standing on another platform of another church with his own church in Fort Pierce. His name is Tim Barton. You've heard him speak here before. You've heard him preach here before. And Tim Barton is the epitome of excellence in Christian development. Amen? And I have had the privilege and I've had the honor of being able to witness Christ at work in this kid's life. He's not a kid anymore. He's old with a baby. And his life has been transformed. His life has been transformed through knowing that God loves him and God likes him. This guy is the epitome of excellence in Christian development. What about you? What are you educating yourselves with? What is it that you're putting into your heart? What kind of schooling are you doing? Is it in every 3 seconds on your phone? Is that enough for you? Is it joyful? Is it the scripture? Is it the knowledge that Jesus loves you and likes you? What is it you are being schooled with? What does Jesus say about education? What does he say about school? What does he say about renewing your mind and having your heart focused? In our scripture today, we talked about Jesus after the resurrection. Morgan read to you the scripture about what Jesus did after the resurrection. The disciples, the seven of them, they're out in Lake Gennesaret on the Sea of Galilee, and they're fishing. The resurrection has happened. They're not really sure what they should be doing. They should be fishing for people, but they're confused. They don't know why Jesus went to the cross. They've forgotten about all that thing, and now they're on the lake fishing for fish. They're fishing for fish because they're confused. They've forgotten what Jesus told them to do. For 3 years, they were next to Jesus, and all of a sudden, now they're back fishing. So they're in the middle of the lake fishing, and all of a sudden, they see a person walking along the beach. And this person says, "Hey, I know you haven't got any fish in your nets, but why don't you put your nets over the other side of the boat, and you're going to catch more fish." The disciples are like, "What the heck? Who the heck's that?" They can't see him. It's dark. It's dusk. They're trying to wonder who he is. And they throw their nets over the other side of the boat, and they pull in 157 fish. Some scholars say, some educated people say, that these 157 signify the amount of different types of fish that were in the Sea of Galilee. Some scholars say, some theologians say, that it signifies the different types of people we should find when we are throwing our nets out trying to catch fish. Regardless, this is a big haul. And Jesus says, "Bring them up here, bring them up onto the shore, we're going to have breakfast together." And the disciples are like, "Whoa, what the? This is Jesus. They don't want to say anything." And then Jesus gets the fish. They cook the bread on the fire. And then he passes out the bread. And now they're like, "Oh, we remember how he does this breaking the bread thing. This is definitely Jesus." And this is where we are in the scripture. They're right at the end. Only in John's gospel do we have these stories, this one story. Only in John's gospel do we have these instructions. And here is we find what Jesus says about education. So he's just had breakfast with them. We're going to go to John 21. If you've got a Bible in front of you, open it at John 21. If you've got it on your phone, flick there. If you're online, open up another tab and just Google John chapter 21, verse 15. Says this. They've had breakfast together. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the leader of the disciples. He was the leader of the 12, now 11. "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." And here's the first thing Jesus says, "Then feed my lambs." So Simon Peter, the de facto leader, asks Jesus,
You know, what should I be doing? And Jesus says, do you love me? And when Jesus says this, Simon Peter, always the one to jump in the lake, always the one who lives outside kind of thing, super, super responsive. Yeah, of course I love you. Of course I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Now, this is obviously a metaphor to not feed lambs. Obviously, it's to feed those people young in the faith. Kaya and Bodhi would be an example of the kind of young people that we should be feeding. It's our children that came up here today to be blessed. It is also those of us who are new to the faith. Those of you like Timmy Barton, I've just realized that God loves you and God likes you. So it's new people in the faith and those who come to be with us here who are children, young. And the exciting thing about being at this church is that we have been feeding the lambs since 1983 with our programs. Involved here today and sitting with you today are people from Robin's Nest Preschool in Robin's Nest. That's been going for 38 years now, and we've got 166 children here in our preschool. We don't do any advertising, but people want to come here all the time. And at that school, we are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? At Stars and Comets, our before and after care, which is like the mustard seed, hey, let's get you in kind of thing. Yeah, Stars and Comets, which has also been going for 34 years. We have 176 children enrolled there. At Wesley Christian School, it's been going since 1995, 26 years. It's now got 515 students in here as we grow here. That's grown in the last 11 years from 289 to 515. And also this year, we celebrated 30 years of Camp Cobra. 30 years. Chris Senegal said that in that time, we've touched and had on this campus 10,000 people, 10,000 children. And so at all of our programs, at all of our education, we are feeding the lambs and leading them to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is why we exist. We feed the lambs. We have programs and ministries so that we can feed our lambs. So that's the first one that Jesus said. That's the first one he said. And then in verse 16, Jesus repeated the question. So he already asked him, do you love me? And then he says again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So he got a little bit more specific. He gave him his birth name. Simon Peter was the name that Jesus gave him. He went right back to his birth name. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. It's the second time. He says to him, what does he say here? Then take care of my sheep. So a little different than the first one. The first one was feed my lambs. This one is take care of my sheep. Sheep are people who get it. Sheep are people who know that Jesus loved them. Sheep are people who that know that Jesus likes them, that they've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of their life, that they decided to follow him, that the Holy Spirit dwells in and amongst your heart. You are a sheep. And sheep need taken care of, amen? We need to be taken care of in our lives, whether it be healing, whether it be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in our relationships. And we have a care team here that takes care of people who are in need. In fact, this afternoon, we have a funeral for a dear member of our church. We take care of people who are in need. In fact, Pastor Kathy has set up a team of people to take care of the sheep here at Palm Harbor. And our desire is that one day you would either be being cared for or desiring to care for somebody else. You either need care or want to give care. At some point, everyone's either being cared for or giving care. So here at Palm Harbor, we take care of the sheep. So first of all is we feed the lambs. Let's say together, we feed the lambs and we also take care of the sheep. Good job. One person here is right here paying attention. Good job. Okay. Third time, verse 17. What does he say? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter's getting a little ticked off now. You already asked him twice. Here's the third time. I'm getting offended. Why all the questions? Why, you know that I love you. Let's get this thing moving along. You get out of here and we'll start doing the apostles' thing. Peter was hurt and he asked Jesus a question. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, what? Feed my sheep. Different than the second one, which is take care of my sheep. This one is feed my sheep. So feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. What does that mean? It means that if you are a follower of Christ, it means that if you are a sheep, if you are someone who's decided that Jesus is the way for you, that I still need feeding, amen? We need something new and that will nourish our spirit, that will nourish us in the same direction that we started off on. We need programs. We need something that's in the fall that's going to entice us to follow Christ. We need a Bible study. We need Financial Peace University. We need things that are going to keep us moving along in life and to keep us in love and in life and in step with Christ. And we do that here. We'll do this in the fall. And you have all been a part of things that feed your head and feed your heart. And you desire to continue to be educated. And it's a big thing of what Jesus says is that you feed the sheep. Then he says, verse 18, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, went everywhere you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you didn't want to go. Jesus said to this, to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, what? Follow me. Who is Jesus talking to? He's got the seven there in amongst them. Seven that have just come off the water. These are like the key players in the whole Jesus gospel story. These people are going to take this message to the rest of the world. These people are going to go in and amongst Samaria, and as the world spreads and what we know about the world spreads, these people, this is where it's going to go from. These, the head honcho, the guy in charge of the disciples, Simon Peter, original name Simon. And then the last name, Peter, Petros, on this rock I will build my church. Yeah, listen, these are the things I want you to do. And then he says in verse 19, what? Follow me. So if you get it, if you know Jesus is in your head and Jesus is in your heart, if you've accepted that fact and desired to follow Jesus, Jesus still says to you, follow me. That means every day when I step my feet outside the bed, every day when I decide to do something, I choose to follow Jesus. It means I make a choice every day to act in a way that glorifies God. Even Simon Peter. Simon Peter, follow me and choose to follow me. This means we must pursue excellence. We must pursue excellence in Christian development. And we do that here through our programs, through Stars and Comets and Westlake, through Camp Cobra, through Robin's Nest. But perhaps the best place where we hear the word excellent is when the Apostle Paul, the one responsible for communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean, is speaking to his beloved church in Philippi. We're going to do a deep dive on Philippians coming up here in the fall. But when he's encouraging his church in Philippi in chapter 4, he's saying this beautiful letter. He sends this letter. He sends it to his brothers and sisters there. And he says, now, brothers and sisters, this is verse 8. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are what? Excellent and worthy of praise. Now, the original word there for excellent in the Greek is arete. This is what we teach the kids at Westlake Chapel. Arete. Arete means virtuous. Whatever is virtuous, whatever is good, whatever is wonderful. I had the privilege of seeing good stuff in Tim Barton's life. I had the privilege of seeing virtue grow up through his life. I had the privilege of seeing things that were wonderful. And what does excellence mean to you? Sometimes we think excellence is straight A students. Sometimes we think cleanliness is excellence. Sometimes we think that when you say the word excellent, it messes up other people, and we're trying to figure out what that means for ourselves. But excellence, searching for excellence in Christian development, is doing all that we possibly can to educate our children, the lambs, to feed the lambs, to take care of the sheep, and to feed the sheep as well. And we're going to do that here at Palm Harbor in 2022, like we've done the last 30 or so years. And we're going to seek virtue, we're going to seek goodness, and we're going to seek the wonder of Christ through everything that we do. Amen? And the way we do that today is we are going to commission our teachers and commission those of you who are responsible for educating. We're going to commission those just at the end of the sermon here, nothing big. I'm going to ask our teachers to stand up. I'm going to ask the Westlake teachers to stand up, just to stand in your seats right here as we commission people for excellence. If you're an educator in all the teachers of the school, thank you. If you're an educator in the Robin's Nest, please stand as well. Please stand if you're at Robin's Nest here. They might be here in the next service. And then if Stars and Comets, educational staff, if you can stand. Chris is standing somewhere. I know you are. And anybody else in... Also, if you're responsible and you're an educator in the school system, if you're in a charter school, or if you homeschool, my sister-in-law homeschools, please stand too. Good. Now, if you're next to a teacher, put your hand on them. If you're a teacher and you're next to a teacher, put your hand on them. Yeah, right here. Good. If you are far from a teacher, just lift a hand out like this and pray for them. As we commission people for excellence, as we commission people for excellence in Christian development, let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the greatest thing that we know in education is that you love us, you like us, and you die for us. And we pray, Lord, amongst anything else, that we'll be able to communicate this to the children before us, to educate the lambs that are in our midst. We pray, Lord, that we'll be able to be the kind of conduits that are people that are on fire for you. We pray, Lord God, that you would endow us with wisdom and knowledge, endow us with wisdom and knowledge that comes directly from you. And that your hand, Lord, as our hands are reached out, your hand and your Holy Spirit would fill each and every teacher that's gathered here today. And that we would commission the excellence that you look for, the wonder, the virtue, and the joy of serving you. And that they would know this every day. They would know this in school tomorrow, and they would know it in each week of this calendar year. Guide us, Lord, as we do this. Be present in every day of our lives. We ask this in your powerful and precious name. And all of God's people and all the educators and all the people that are involved in telling others about this. We ask this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen.